A Gentleman of Verona. One magical night in 1979, in Europe, on honeymoon, my new bride and I waited in a little trattoria for plates of homemade pasta. A tall, handsome Italian stepped up to my table. He spoke perfect English, and I remember our conversation word for word. How could you ever forget an exchange like this? "Are you an American?" he asked me. Maybe it was something about my blue windbreaker and the running shoes I wore into the trattoria. "Yes, I'm an American." "Do you play baseball?" the Italian asked. "Yes." I answered this out of left field question without batting an eye. I didn't mention I hadn't played baseball in 7 years, since age 18, when I couldn't hit my weight at 154 pounds, and when I cursed the inventor of the curveball every time I stepped to the plate. The Italian drew up to his full height, well over 6 feet, and on the spot, he made me an offer I couldn't refuse. "My name," he said, "is Tiziano Coppola. I am an umpire in the Italian baseball. If you will play on our local Italian team, I will give you and your wife jobs and a free place to live for the season." So, I became third baseman for the Verona Arsenal. The Italian men's team represented the historic northern Italian city between Venice and Milan. The baseball? Think of a men's softball league here in the States, a serious softball league with athletic ex-players who stay in shape and practice hard and go out as weekend warriors to chase balls over green grass and pop the buttons off shirts swinging at fat pitches. The kind of league where players yell and argue over called strikes and close plays. Maybe doodly squat level sport, but never doodly squat competition. The Verona Arsenal played baseball with Amore. To this day, I remember the names of my teammates, my band of baseball brothers. Johnny Abbati, the shortstop. Laerte Panarotti, our grizzled old coach, whose passion for baseball matched that of Bobby Cox. Paolo Scandella played left, a youngster who cursed most profanely in Italian every breath about good or bad events in equal measure. The Verona Arsenal won most games, going 7-2 in the regular season. You wouldn't know to judge by the crowds. Our games took place on Sunday afternoons next to the soccer field. Hundreds of people came to watch soccer. We had a dozen, and nine of those were girlfriends and wives. I got my name in the newspaper, to the hilarity of my teammates. Instead of Charles McNair, the reporter had somehow used my jersey number, 2, or Due, and then misspelled my last name to come up with a strange hybrid, Due McNane. I became, thereafter, Due McNane. My teammates hit one another with gloves and laughed until tears rolled down their Italian cheeks every time they said it. We rode cars to games in places named San Martino Buon Albergo and Padua and Aviano. At this last town, we battled lean, mean American teenagers from the U.S. Air Force Base. In one game at Aviano, I suffered the humiliation of striking out twice against a 13-year-old version of Sandy Koufax. I got my revenge with a triple that nearly tore the ear off a loudmouthed infielder from California. My most memorable moment with the Verona Arsenal says as much about Italy as any story I ever tell. It came against the American kids from Aviano, this time a home game in Verona. The youngsters had licked us good over at the airbase, a humiliation made worse by the cocky attitude of the teenagers. The lanky young American whiz kid stood on the mound again, 13 years old with a 300-mile-per-hour fastball. This time, he proved human, serving up one fat pitch after another, walking and hitting batters, me twice in one inning. Verona scored 13 runs in the bottom of the first. But games last 7 innings in Italy. Usually. In this one, inning after inning, run by run, the Americans chipped away at our lead. By the top of the seventh, Aviano had pulled within one skinny run. They loaded the bases, nobody out. Our pitcher, Playboy ski instructor Rafael, looked completely blown. It appeared Verona would lose to the jeering Americans again. But then, Italy happened. All at once, bases loaded, the count 3-0, the tying run at third, the umpire leaped from his crouch behind the plate. He whipped off his mask. He pointed to his very expensive Italian wristwatch. Tempo, he cried. Time. Time's out. Game's over. You see, in Italy, as with soccer, you have only so many minutes to play a baseball game. There's an exact Italian word for what happened next. Casino. Craziness. Still, nothing changes the mind of an Italian umpire when he decides the game is over. And that umpire? His name was Tiziano Coppola. He once came up to my table in a trattoria and made me an offer I couldn't refuse. That's how the game is played in Italy.